Fan on Demand.
Sportsnet 1 today. Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean.
Don't say anything.
Well, don't. You're going to get us in trouble.
No, but you know what? Mother doesn't know how to find Sportsnet 1, and she's always frustrated when we're not on. So I was, how do I tell
soccer,
her?
Tennis. Yes,
soccer.
Shoot.
Tell mother to go to the internet and log on and listen on sportsnet590thefan.ca.
Mother doesn't know there's internet.
Have you not explained to her
no.
the invention of the internet?
I tried, but she wasn't interested.
Is her VCR still blinking 12 o'clock?
She just is not interested.
I'm going to set Fran up with yes. some Wi-Fi.
Bruce could do it. Bruce Hickey, our friend, but he's too busy.
Oh, my car
right
guy.
Now. Yeah, your car.
Yeah.
He's too busy.
Bruce is good that way.
Anyway, the internet's, it's new.
Couple of games tonight. Ottawa against Detroit. Alfredson faces the Senators.
Wow.
We'll chat with Bruce Garriott from the Ottawa Sun about that. And there's always something special about Buffalo and Boston.
And
only two games tonight. Hockey Central tonight will be blessed with the presence of Doug McLean.
And Bill
Jaffe. And Merrick.
Will you be breaking down anything, or will you just leave that to Billy?
I'll leave that to Billy, and then I'll chime. Just on that note, it'll be interesting when we have Mr. Garriott on to get the details of the Heatley agreement with the Ottawa Senators, because I see that was settled in the last couple of days. So it'll be interesting to see where that went.
Honestly,
he'd know.
Wouldn't Heatley have gotten most of his money?
I would think he would have, yeah.
Or all of it?
I would think so.
We'll chat with a couple of great Canadian sports journalists, along with Bruce Garriott, Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press, with, really, what's the mood in Winnipeg behind closed doors? I talked to a couple of people yesterday. They said they're not making a coaching change there.
Oh, and usually they'd tell you if they were.
Matt, they fired,
you got that from the insiders yesterday.
Since the mid-90s. When the Manitoba Moose came from Minnesota, they have fired True North one coach.
It's Jean Perron.
And how
a bunch have graduated.
And how did
but they have fired one coach?
And how did the Moose's record compare to the Jets?
But the Moose were
pretty good team.
Playoff team.
Yeah,
perennial playoff team.
Exactly. That's my point.
Challenge for a bunch of championships.
Yeah, and look, who knows? Nobody, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff in the group. Would know what the issues are, but unfortunately, it's nothing about Noel or the Jets. It's just when teams have expectations to do well and they're sputtering. Like last night was a point that they threw away. I thought it was, you know, they played well enough to win the game.
We'll sink our teeth into this a little bit.
Pavlich has got three chances in a shootout,
but
to make one save.
The Leafs at Air Canada Center are involved in one of the strangest
Jekyll and Hyde games.
That's a great way to put it.
That's an awesome
two
way
shots.
To put it.
Well, I'm a professional analyst.
Two shots in 25 Oof. Minutes. 25 minutes and the 5 minute mark of the second period, they get a couple of chances. And I don't know whether that sparked the group, but Randy Carlyle, and this we've had plenty of discussions lately about how different he is now than he was with the Manitoba Moose with the Anaheim Ducks. But he didn't go into that dressing room after the first period following a two-shot performance in the first period and kick garbage cans and rant and rave. He gave them space.
Are you buying that?
Well, that's what he said.
I know, because you can go into the dressing room and be very calm, cool, and
You're
collected.
You're saying he lied?
No, I'm saying you can go in there and be very calm, cool, and collected, and they get the message you're really ticked off because of the way you are. Instead of going in and ranting and raving, you go in and you can be quiet, calm, cool, and collect, and they still get the message that they were god-awful.
They could see your furnace face, too.
And they were god-awful.
They were.
And you know what? He was, you know, give Randy credit. He went in and he...
Are we not saying the same thing here?
Yeah, but he don't kid yourself. He was ticked off.
I'm not saying he wasn't. Yeah. He should have been.
Right.
But he just had a different way.
He didn't throw anything off the wall.
No, exactly.
And I've always said this. You want to mess with a player. You want to really get to him. Take away the thing that means the most to him.
Right.
And that's ice time.
Exactly.
And they did that on the penalty that Colton Orr drew. Right? No Kessel. No Phaneuf.
Oh, really? I never noticed that.
Yeah, we talked about it last night. You losing it a little bit in old age?
No, I'm the one that talked about it last night.
Well, after we told you.
While you were saying Kessel was going in a 10-game slump. No, anyway, you're right.
For the record, I believe it was me that pointed out that the number two unit was on the...
But anyway, it was me that...
But anyway, listen, just...
Pointed out that Phaneuf had one foot on the bench going, change!
He did.
Change!
That was funny.
But listen...
That was actually really funny.
I remember in Detroit when Steve Yzerman was struggling and... We talked about, you know, how do we get Stevie going? And Brian Murray, there was a power play came up, and Brian was head coach. He didn't put Stevie Y out at the first of the power play. He was arrested on the bench, and he didn't put him out.
He was arrested on the bench?
He was rested.
Oh.
He hadn't come off the ice.
That's strange.
He hadn't come off from a previous shift or anything like that. You might as well have sat him out for two games. How much that ticked him off.
Oh,
and got the message that... Hey, so it doesn't have to be a bench for a period. It doesn't have to be a scratch for a game. If you take even the power play, as Nick said, away from the guys, they get a subtle message that, hey, we're not happy.
I liked where Phil Kessel was on the first goal. He didn't, on a little bit of a broken play, he didn't disappear. He stayed there, got the great pass, the great feed through. Well, but and that's what Randy Carlisle wanted him, right?
Well, and the other thing Randy wanted is, their speed, their team speed. And let's face it, they are a dangerous team when they are off the rush. And Kessel leads that rush most often than not. And that wasn't there the last few games. And it's apparent. It's apparent when they don't have great speed through the neutral zone and they didn't have it in the first period. They didn't have it in the last two periods against
Carolina. They couldn't make a pass.
Kessel couldn't make a pass. On a power play, and then all of a sudden on his goal, he was the one that came through the neutral zone with speed, backed them off, and then held onto the puck, drew it back up to the blue line, and then found Bozak in the soft area in the slot.
But you know what? It's not unusual for a team that gets drilled for 3 days or 2 days in practice about playing good team defense. We've got to cut down on the uneven rushes. We've got to cut down on the turnovers. And the talking points by the coaching staff are strictly play without the puck, team defense. So you go into the game and you're hesitant to take gambles offensively. And what happens is it's not unusual to see them stumbling offensively because they were worried about their defense. And all of a sudden the whole thing was a mess. They were giving up chances. They were hesitant. And when they're going best is when they're creating
a step forward,
but they're also battling and playing a total game.
If you knew all of this the last two games about how they stress defense, why'd you take the over on 42 shots yesterday?
Because we've been talking about it for a year and it hasn't worked.
Oh.
That was as much about Anaheim on the 42 shots in the over as it was about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And
if you felt so good about Kessel last night, why did you say he was going to go 10 games without scoring?
I say if he stays on the perimeter, he could.
You certainly suggested that he was on his way to a 10-game slump.
I said if he doesn't go to the middle of the ice, he could see another 10-gamer.
Is anybody in this room buying that?
No.
No.
But anyway, that's okay.
Is anybody in that room buying that?
They don't care.
They don't listen.
They're not listening.
So they're not buying it either.
You guys got to pay attention.
Matt sent out emails on our next guest.
It was a step forward last night on the defensive side of it.
Yes, it was a step forward in the third period. They were really good defensively, and they were great offensively and really pretty sound defensively against a pretty good hockey team.
Now they get David Clarkson back. All is good. Face the Columbus Blue Jackets and Pittsburgh Penguins in a back-to-back. Yeah. Jonathan Bernier was good.
I think it's important for Clarkson to come back and not... he doesn't need to feel like he's got to go and be Mr. Everything. And I think he felt that a little bit. And it probably was a domino effect on him jumping off the bench.
Think he scratched tomorrow night?
He may. He may well be. But I don't think he has to. And I don't think he has to score. I just think that he's got to go in there and just feel comfortable about playing his game and not forcing anything.
I want to get to this, okay? The Oilers beat the Montreal Canadiens last night, and Dallas Eakins goes out of his way to thank Lars Eller. a.k.a. player 81 of the Montreal
that
Canadiens.
That was over the top.
Who said, Lars Eller, commenting on the Edmonton Oilers, saying they're a junior hockey team. Now, he meant it in their style of play, loose, and he likes more structure. But it's still, that's bulletin board stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You would use it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it being bulletin board stuff at all. I think you can, anything
internally
you can,
too, though.
Anything you can use to your advantage, put it up on the board, and that's fine. But to go out in a post-game press conference and bring it up and talk about it over and over and name a player and go on and on about fruit and wine, I thought it was way over the top.
And talk about lessons learned.
And I think it was over the top. I didn't like it.
Dallas went too far on it.
As we thought, let you listen to Dallas Eakins, I will just say I liked it because he's defending his team that's in a fragile state.
It's games like that that you don't even really need to go play them. When you have a player like Lars Eller running his mouth before the game, it makes for a great banter in our dressing room and a great motivation. So we thank Lars Eller for his comments before the game. It's like they might as well have sent me over a fruit basket and a bottle of wine. I was like, man, that is just perfect. So that was a really great present that Mr. Eller laid on us today.
See, I don't like the fact.
Awesome.
I don't like the fact that Dallas has made it almost to the point where you need a Lars to win a game like that, and it's like
they'll take anything that they can grab.
He's
onto
got bigger
right now.
Fish to fry than Lars Eller right now.
That may be the case, but he's also using anything he can grab onto.
And I'm with you a little bit here, but here, why doesn't he say that in the dressing room to his team?
Well, he did.
He did.
Yeah, sure exactly. Did. So they get the message he's trying. Why go to the media with it? Why not say it, hey, guys, you guys responded to the comments that were on the board. Congratulations. He's getting what he needs. Why do you have to go to the media?
You don't think he was asked about Lars Eller's comments?
But why not? Why get into it? Why get into it? Bring it up and nail it on another
player. He's honest and forthright.
Okay, maybe.
No, I think it was a little classless. I do. I think he should have taken the high road and say, hey, listen, my players, if they used it for motivation, great. I thought they played well, and this is why we came back. We came back because of Lars Eller. That's the reason why we came back and won this game. Seriously?
You don't think you were...
Do you want to not
you
give
never
your,
won games because of what the opposition said
listen,
or did?
It helped. It helped. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to think there was more to it than one guy...
We only
they won the game. They won the game because Montreal were god awful in the second half.
And
we
also only grabbed a couple of sound bites out of that press conference.
I listened to it this morning.
So
I listened to it this morning.
You watched the whole thing from the start to finish.
Well, just on that.
Yeah,
topic.
That's what I mean. Yeah. There's other discussion points here. Yeah. So don't let's not get caught up in the fact that he just pinpointed.
But he did
in a section of his press conference.
How much more do you need? He made it abundantly clear that Lars was the biggest factor in the game. And I don't think he needed to do that. I don't.
Defending his team.
But Max, right. You already defended it. You dealt with it and the team responded. And to go one step further now in the media and pour gasoline on a comment, obviously, that he regretted, and Therrien addressed it, inappropriate. I mean, Therrien took the high road. He totally took ownership off of his organization.
Right. You know, Paul
totally took ownership.
Like I like Therrien's comments that it was immature and he shouldn't have said it.
He owned up to it.
Paul McLean is going to use this tonight against Daniel Alfredson to his advantage, and I'll be curious to see what he says after the game. Bruce Garriott of the Ottawa Sun. And then Tim Campbell on the Winnipeg Jets scenario right now that's playing out. They got a point last night. Two pretty interesting Canadian NHL stories on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, presented by Lexus on the Park.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Still debating the whole Dallas Eakins press conference last night. The important part about the Edmonton Oilers, they finished up that trip and they have a win, and the Edmonton Oilers go back 3-6-1. That last two games, winning in Ottawa and Montreal, pivotal to that organization. And then you look up at the Metropolitan Division, and Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia, the Devils, Rangers, and Flyers, with four wins between them right now. Incredible.
You know what,
three important franchises.
Philly and Jersey, we could probably see some writing on the wall a little bit. I mean, Jagr's logging 18, 19 minutes. He's, 41? Philly, the goaltending situation, huge question mark coming in. The Rangers, probably the team. But again, with a new coach, Mac, but I don't think we're overly surprised at this, are we?
Here's the tough part. When you start a season 1-6, and you probably have to end
one and seven,
I should say, and you have to end up 5-6 games over 500 to make the playoffs, it's hard to believe in game 8 and 9 that they're looking at, if they don't go 7-8 games over 500, if they don't go 10 or 12 games over 500 the rest of the way, they have no chance to make the playoffs. That's hard to believe.
And that includes like a 6 or 7, 8 game winning streak.
They're
like
7 points out of a playoff.
You've got to go.
Yeah, but it's not that.
You have to go on a run.
Under 500. Yeah. That's scary.
You've got to go on a tear.
Well, look,
in a 3 week period.
We got to get to Gariok here. No. The Rangers do play Philadelphia.
We can just leave them there.
Yeah. Boo Boo, do you want to just listen?
No, you know what? I can't watch you guys. Are you on
Sportsnet
anywhere, Doug? Because all I see is soccer.
No, you're
on Sportsnet. No, Sportsnet West, Sportsnet Pacific, Sportsnet, I don't know what else.
Sportsnet 1.
I can't find you.
You know
it's
what? My 86-year-old mother has the same problem.
Oh,
can you just
anyway,
not?
Sportsnet 1, I got to find now.
Just bring your PVR box with you on the road.
No, I just got this Bell 5 TV, and I can't find you.
Well, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why. There's your first mistake.
Yeah, that nice move by you, Gariok, and you know, that's really helps you with our sports people.
Why do you consult us?
Seriously.
For you, Doug.
Alfie against the Senators, plays the Senators for the first time. I don't know whether he scored against all 30 teams in the National Hockey League, but now he's got a chance to score against the Senators for the first time.
Well, you know, there's been an awful lot of buildup here over the last couple of days, and it's been interesting, to say the least, because he's kind of trying to mend fences a little now with what went on in the summer and the way that the discussions went, and I thought it was interesting when he said that this wasn't so much about money. I think that it had a lot to do with money, because I think money is respect in his eyes, and I think he felt that in the end, and he certainly said this at his press conference, that he was disrespected by the franchise. That being said, I think this will all be a little strange for him. I also think, guys, that he's lucky that this game is in Detroit tonight to face them the first time, because I think it's going to be a little easier transition for him.
Do they play one more time in Detroit before coming back as well?
Exactly a month today.
Do you think that makes any difference at all? Will that alleviate the attention when he comes to Ottawa? Or they could play 10 times in Detroit. It won't matter. It's going to be huge when he comes back to Ottawa.
I think the latter, Nick. I think no matter how it is when he comes back, I think it's going to be easier for him playing against them, but I don't think it's going to take anything away from what happens here on December 1st and how the because people are going to be waiting to see how the organization reacts to his return.
How do you think they will?
Well, I think they'll do a video montage.
Jason Pominville played in Buffalo the other night. They didn't do a thing.
Excuse me, Jason Pominville and Alfredson?
No.
Not close, sorry.
No, but he is a former captain.
I agree, but not close.
Long-time member of the organization.
Yeah.
I saw the Buffalo guys complaining because somebody else got a video montage, didn't they, when they went back?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, no, I
maybe they gave it to Ryan Miller before he goes.
All that to say, I think they'll do something to recognize him here. Do I think everything that happened is water under the bridge in the summer? No. Do I think there's a front office position waiting for him when he retires? No. But do I think they'll do the right thing and honor him in some way, shape, or form when he does come back here? Yes.
And they should. So you're tight with Mr. Melnyk, and I know you and he have a great relationship.
Now I'm tight with you too.
What?
No, as tight.
What?
Remember, you're the mean guy.
What?
You're the mean guy.
What's Mr. Melnick saying, and what are his inner thoughts on this whole thing, as only you would know?
Well, I think that the last time I spoke to him was last week when he was here in Ottawa, and I think he, like everybody else, is looking forward to getting this first game over with. He said he won't be in Ottawa. He's got a previous commitment on December 1st. But I think he's like everybody else. I think he wants what happened in the summer, Doug, to go away. And I think that it turned into a messy divorce, but I think that both sides are ready to turn the page. Are they ready to turn the page fully? Like, I go back to, you know, with him having a job in the organization. No, I don't think so. But I think they want to let everything else go away.
Have you had a chance to really zero in on Alfredson and his play with Detroit?
Well, no. I mean, I had a long talk with Ken Holland on Monday. And one of the things Ken Holland said to me is they're really trying to hard Darren to find a place where he fits. You know, they tried him with Zetterberg and Datsyuk. I think he's with Bertuzzi right now. Their power play didn't score, and he's on the point on the power play, which is where they think he can really help them. But he hasn't made that impact so far. I think that they're still trying to figure out where he fits into the whole scheme of things. And one of the things that Ken Holland said to me is, you know what, the thing I find with veteran players is that you don't see their best in the first 10 games because they know that this is a long ride. You see it closer to when the games get more important.
He's on pace for 80 points.
Oh, I know.
He's their third leading scorer.
No, I know he's got a goal and 8 assists, but I think even they believe he can be even better.
Yeah.
Which is by any accounts, tremendous.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Bruce Garriott with us from the Ottawa Sun, chatting about Daniel Alfredson facing the Ottawa Senators for the first time tonight. He has scored against 29 other teams. The only club he has not found the net against is the Ottawa Senators.
Hey, Bruce, when we talk about Ottawa after, what, 9 games, basically a .500 team, is this a team that still needs more time to kind of form who they are without Daniel Alfredson? Obviously, Bobby Ryan is there, but is he still trying to get his feet wet here in terms of settling in? Is this a team that's still trying to find their identity without Alfredson?
Well, and that's what we talked about a lot on the road last week. I was on that 9-day road trip, Nick, and that's what Paul McLean is trying to hammer home here, is what kind of team do you want to be? Are you the team that gave up 106 shots in 2 games in San Jose and Anaheim, or are you the team that played okay against the Oilers? I don't think they only gave up 20 shots. I don't think they played great, but he felt that was a more complete game. I think they're absolutely trying to find themselves. You know, Bobby Ryan lasted, what, 4 or 5 games on a line with Jason Spezza, and now he's playing with Kyle Turris and Clark MacArthur. MacArthur is the only top 6 forward who hasn't scored a goal yet, so there's starting to be some notice on that. You're going into game 10 here tonight. I think that they are trying to figure out, are they going to be... look, last year Paul McLean said recently they felt they were a great defensive team last year. I think they were a good defensive team that got great goaltending.
Exactly.
And I think that so far, to be quite honest, they've gotten pretty good goaltending. They haven't been able to score. This is a really tough stretch for them, though, guys. Detroit tonight, San Jose Friday night, or I may have this reversed, Anaheim Friday night, San Jose Sunday, and then Chicago next Tuesday. So they're going to find out exactly where they stand in these next 4 games. And if they're going to get their game together, Nick, they better get it together quick. Here.
That's murderer's row.
Thanks for the schedule update. Anyway.
You're just mean.
Well, no, I can look up the schedule. I don't need... Anyway.
Did you know that kind of tough...
Net one.
Yeah. Anyway, do you believe that they're in need of a top 6 forward and are looking for a top 6 forward? I mean, I know Konecker's gone in and played pretty well.
Sabanajad's up.
And Sabanajad's up. Do you really believe they are in need of a top 6 forward, are looking for a top 6 forward?
I got to be... I thought coming out of training camp that they might be, and that they would go looking for that right away, Doug. I think right now they're willing to be patient. Yeah. Corey Konecker is actually, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, he has.
McCulloch.
Very good.
He's looked very good. And I think that that's not really an area of concern right now. Do I think at the trade deadline, if they're in a position to maybe make some hay in the playoffs, yeah, I think they'll go looking for one. I don't think there's any question. But I think right now, one of the things that Eugene Melnyk has said, I know there's been an awful lot of questions about money here, but one of the things he has said is that if they feel they need a top six forward at the deadline, he's certainly willing to go get one.
Nick, we watch MacArthur a lot. I mean, I like Clark MacArthur, but I think he's a third-line guy. I think he's a good third-line player. And, you know, so...
But they're not paying him to be a third-line player.
Exactly.
And they're not...
Exactly.
Their expectations are more.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's the other thing.
A healthy scratch for Randy Carlisle.
So that's the other thing. I mean, he is in their top six. So they're a touch thin there. And in fairness, they had to give up Silverberg, I mean, who struggled a little bit lately in Anaheim. But, hey, to get Bobby Ryan, you give up assets. And I love the Bobby Ryan move, but I still think they're a little thin up top of that lineup. I like their bottom six. I'm a little concerned about their top six.
The other question is, though, Doug, I mean, and this is going to be a question closer to the deadline, is are they willing to sit on McCulloch and lose him as an unrestricted free agent?
If they're in the race, they're going to have to.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's going to be... these are all questions for down the road. I think the other thing is, I honestly believe, though, guys, that at some point or another, Bobby Ryan's going to be back with Spets and McCulloch. I don't think that his stay with Kyle Turris and Clark MacArthur is going to be anything permanent. The other thing is, you guys know MacArthur better than I do. The one goal they did score on Saturday against the Oilers, he did have a part in. I know the numbers don't bear it because he hasn't scored, but I think he's actually been pretty good.
Sure.
Any early indications of what McCulloch's new price tag may be?
There has been none. And in fact, I ran into his agent, Alan Walsh, when we were out in L.A. last week, and I asked him, and he wasn't really saying, Nick. But where do you think he falls in?
Well, the good thing about Alan Walsh, he'll be really fair with them.
You're so mean.
What?
He is.
No,
he is.
Huh? I'm serious. Yeah, I know.
Terrible.
I know.
All right.
One other thing, and I think we overlook this a lot, and we've touched on it, is this top four defense is really young and inexperienced. And I love them as a group of top four, but yeah, they are a young group when you look at 22-year-olds and 23-year-olds and one 28-year-old.
That's the league. Yeah, that's the league.
No, it's not the league. Not when there's a top four defense. The top four defense is really young when you got early 20s.
Well, you know what? Did you see Anaheim's last night?
Yeah.
It's interesting you bring that up, Doug, because tonight Patrick Wercott sits in favor of Joe Corvo. And that's the first time he's been a scratch this season. And they've been trying since day one of training camp to fit him with Jared Cowan. In the last game, they kind of broke that pairing up. So this is that he's now a scratch tonight is an interesting move.
I always get the sense when you're on here that you have to go back and watch your segments on PVR to figure out what exactly happened.
No, you know what? I'd have to know how to work PVR.
And he sweats so much he has to have a shower after he finishes with his tips.
See, you're just
well, he's
mean.
Nervous because he's... No, I mean he's nervous when he's on with us. That's all.
Absolutely, I'm nervous because I'm nervous about what you might say next.
Yes, with good reason.
That's what I meant.
Bruce, you're a better man than
Bruce,
I.
Bruce, you're just terrific.
Do you have a sweating problem?
Doug, great talking to me.
Just with us. Just when he's on with us. He does.
You guys don't even listen to him. That was a good line. Bruce Garrick from the Ottawa Sun. I'm not telling you because it's like my daughter.
Nick interrupted. And
if you don't listen the first time, I'm not repeating myself.
Nick interrupted. And
Harmony.
Harmony.
We have a development with the New York Rangers goaltending situation and a major injury to a great young player. We'll tell you all about that when we check in with Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press on their situation right now with head coach Claude Noel. It's Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet 1.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
couple games tonight in the National Hockey League with Ottawa against Detroit. Daniel Alfredson, the key figure there. No surprise that Craig Anderson will start for the Senators. Boston hooks up with Buffalo. Now, the Sabres have been terrible, but there is history there. So, if you're in a fantasy pool, pick up some guys who might be able to produce some penalty minutes. Mentioned the New York Rangers and Henrik Lundqvist, the goaltending update there. Lundqvist will not dress tomorrow night. He's battling a couple of things. They said if it was a playoff game, well, it'd be awfully early for the playoffs. He would play, but he's going to take a maintenance night. And Jonas Brodin of the Minnesota Wild, broken cheekbone last night. One of the great young players in the National Hockey League. So a couple of things there. Jacob Trouba's out with the Winnipeg Jets. Could be a couple more weeks after falling into the boards the other night. They're going to miss him. Here's Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press, one of our favorites. How are you, Timmy?
How are you guys today?
Well, we're just kind of sorting through a weird game in Toronto last night in which they had two shots for 25 minutes and then ended up drilling the Anaheim Ducks. And then go home and watch Winnipeg in this shootout. And it looks like they've got it nailed down and Pavlich can't make a save. And it's like they could have put everything to rest with Claude Noel and the controversy and the swirls about that. Instead, we're right back at it.
Yeah, a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda, late in that game last night.
So you know that True North organization. They don't fire coaches. But there seems to be something from the fan base that isn't enamored with Claude Noel. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's right. I listen to the talk shows, see people in the concourse at the games recently, read comments on different stories that we post, and you can tell there's a segment of the fandom here that is very impatient, and this comes from a couple of sources. One of them is simply the higher expectations the team itself has created, handing out a lot of dough and quite a bit of term this summer to some of the players they've identified as key players. And and there's a feeling, with this, you mentioned Jacob Trouba and Mark Scheifele is, a regular on this team now. The future has arrived, not in waves yet. There's still, prospects developing, but the cutting edge or the leading edge of these guys has finally arrived, and it's given the team a bit of a new feeling within the community. Finally, we put up with the same Atlanta Thrashers for 2 years, and now we have a few new faces, and, the team should be better, and it is better. I think a lot of people are convinced of that, and I don't think it's quite that easy. And so, the very mediocre play in the early going here has led all roads to the coach.
We just talked to Bruce Guerra, and we were just talking about the Ottawa Senators, and they're a playoff team, and yet he says that they're still struggling to find their identity. I know they're growing impatient there, but, do we know for sure how good this team can be? Have they shown signs enough in your estimation to say that the expectations should be more?
Yeah, Nick, that's the $64,000 question here, and it really has been since we got to know this team, maybe a month or two into, its arrival here. It's, they have shown little bursts of being a very good team, a very quick team. I think they actually showed quite a bit of that against Washington last night. I don't think it was a game maybe they hadn't seen a lot of because of the move to the West. Now they've seen a few more of the Nashville-style games. And so last night it got into a bit of a track meet. I don't think they wanted to play that way, but they showed they were capable of going with the Capitals up and down the ice. The Jets had three breakaways and, five odd-man rushes, either three-on-one or two-on-one. So they had eight of those opportunities last night. I don't think they've had eight of those in the first nine games. And, they managed to get this game to overtime. They had to come back a couple times, but they had lots of chances. They had 47 shots on goal last night, and they weren't all from center like they were against Nashville the other night. But, they don't do that every night. They've not been doing that every night. And I don't know that it's – I guess, when you see a team play well, you say, okay, well, they know they have that in their tank. But no team in the league, as far as I know, plays its best or its A game every single night, and neither does it play its worst game, and teams have those once in a while. You know, a team is never as bad as its worst game. It's where the line is in the middle that, you know, determines whether a team's going to be in the playoffs or not, and I don't know that Winnipeg's line is all that high based on, say, a month's worth of work instead of judging it by one night. I don't think their consistency in their average game has been that great, and so I'm with you. I think there are a lot of questions as to actually how good they are.
I really think Mark Chipman, who is a heavily involved owner, has totally blown it for this organization. I mean, he should have had them in the Metropolitan Division. And he has screwed this up by putting them in the West when they should be in the Metropolitan where they'd be in third place. Do you agree?
Colorado's screwing them up.
Yeah. Do you agree with me on that, Tim?
Well, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit here, that this move, you know, getting in against Chicago and now surprising Colorado. And everybody knows what St. Louis is like to play with, and the Jets had a good taste of what it's going to be like to face Nashville here the other night. You know, that's going to be, you know, really, I just going to call it hell in the short term. They're not accustomed to playing this way,
but
they're going to have to learn. But I think in the long term, it'll be good for them. But right now, there's probably some truth to what you're saying, Doug, that, you know, they would have been a lot better off staying in the, you know, where they've at least found it a little bit comfortable before. I mean, think about it. They nearly made the playoffs last year, but, you know, they got to the 47th game and didn't win it. That was the end.
Who's really let them down, Tim, from a personnel point of view? Pavlik has been okay, I guess. I'm not a big fan.
He can be better.
Yeah, he's got to be a lot better. But who other than Pavlik has really let this team down that had, you know, higher expectations for as an organization?
Well, you know, I'm with you. I think Pavlik is under quite a microscope here, and he's been good in some of the early games and looks to me like he's maybe slipped back towards average a little bit here the last few. But I don't think any of this is on him yet in the first 10 games of their record. But I think it's an easy finger point here, yeah. And it sure is easy from the press box, but it's the top six forwards right now. And, you know, maybe a good sign from last night's game here against Washington, you know, that Brian Little and Andrew Ladd really came to life last night. And Blake Wheeler had a goal last night. He's been, you know, virtually absent in the first nine games until last night. But their top nine or their top six have, you know, just not carried the mail.
Well, Noel doesn't know who his top six is, he said.
Okay, well, you know, yeah, he's been wondering, but it's pretty easy to identify these guys. They've changed the lines quite a bit, but it's always a combination of, and last night it was Little with Ladd and Setoguchi, and then they put Scheifele between Kane and Blake Wheeler. And I think of those top six guys, and that's been the constant top six for the, you know, first games, other than one game where they sat Setoguchi down. So out of those six guys, the only guy I think you can really give a fair passing mark to in the first 9 to 10 games, if you want to throw in last night as well, is Evander Kane. He's had lots of jump, and he's had an impact on games. He backs defensemen up when he gets wheeling down that left wing, and whether he passes or shoots, you know, they do back up. You know, I haven't seen many defensemen try to stand and challenge him or been able to check him when he's going down the wing. So the other guys have just not found their spot or their space. Little hasn't been too bad, and he had two goals last night and was a factor in the game. But, you know, the combination, that's what's got Claude Noel perplexed, is he thought they were going to start with an absolute set trio, Little, Ladd, and Wheeler, which was kind of their go-to line last year. You know, there have been a lot of questions as to whether it's actually a bona fide number one NHL line, and I've had my doubts, but I think those guys played pretty well in the lockout season, so you could maybe give them the benefit of the doubt to start this season, but it was no go in the first 2-3 games, and he just started changing the lines right away because there was clearly nothing good happening. So I think most of the responsibility falls on those guys.
About 10 games in, big Buff, no goals. Everybody talked about how he was in great shape. He came in lighter than he has in the past. I think he needs a tray of about 14 burgers right now because
I'd put some weight on him.
He's got to beef up. He's got to get those like goals back. Is he not getting any looks anymore? Or
we
what?
Have about 30 seconds, Timmy.
He's been getting a lot of looks, and actually him and Toby Enstrom, they haven't played together all the time, but they've been leading the team in scoring up to last night. And I think of all his players, if you went to Claude Noel today and made him tell you who the best player has been so far, he would say Buff.
He made a great play to Kane, who just missed it on a great shot last night. Do you remember that bullet he let go?
Yeah.
Wow. We know if not,
Buff's been pretty good.
If nothing, they have so many Olympic hopefuls too. So these guys are trying to play their way into Olympic teams. We know one thing about True North; they are patient, if nothing else. So I don't expect anything to occur here. Always great catching up with one of my
thanks, Tim.
Great friends from the business.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to have another cheerleader on with Millard. He's the biggest Jet cheerleader there is.
Hey.
Thanks.
See you, Timmy.
Did you see the look on
his
face?
Oh, he's excited.
When you said, when you started out on Chipman.
Oh, he panicked. Well, panic like, in his
panic.
Eyes.
And like, he's like, oh, you're joking.
I'm like,
where
are you going with that?
You're right. I looked and saw
I'm
the panic.
I saw a puddle over here.
Oh, my God. It was frightening.
There's two saucers coming out of my eyes.
Don't mess with his Jets. Do not mess with his Jets.
I loved it.
Why are you going at Chip for that?
Hey, did you see Yandle last night make two passes?
Yandle?
Keith Yandle.
Yeah.
Against
I believe that his family calls him Yandle.
Yandle.
Yeah.
Ribeiro and Verbata. I'm telling you, this guy's a player.
Yeah.
He's a player.
And he was on the block for a while. He was rumored to be on the block.
Well, big ticket, right?
Yeah,
but
a good player.
Great player.
Now I know why everybody's been trying to trade him. Watching him last night, you're just like...
Great offensive instincts.
Hard to find those guys.
But there's just some question marks about his own zone.
And they're getting so excited about Ekman-Larsson, they feel they might be able to make a move. This Ekman-Larsson, he may be the next... I mean, we continually talk about him, but wow, how good is he? Okay.
Wonder how they made out in the Doug McLean drinking game last night.
Say hi to Mr. Chipman. No doubt about it.
How many times did you say that last night?
Oh, hey, you threw in like taking candy from a baby.
I know that I'll probably hear about it from the consultant, Tony, when I meet with him.
We're going to get ripped.
I'm excited about it. They better not rip too much.
Or you're walking, eh?
Take a walk. We'll chat with you tomorrow on Hockey Central at noon.